green. There we go. Green and go. It's always good to be home. If you travel much like we do, you realize the best food in this country is in the Northeast. And I can testify. You go places and they say they got Philly cheesesteak and it looks like a hot dog. But it's good to be back here. It's good to be home. The circumstances aren't perfect, but it's good to be here. I appreciate preacher letting me preach out of his pulpit tonight. I never take that for granted. Take your Bibles and open to Judges chapter 6. And while you do that, I want to ask you to pray for a man. His name is Theodore. Theodore's kind of special, man. He's a member of the church that we are going to right now in North Carolina. And he bought his own cab. And he drives his own cab. And the money he makes each week, he only takes what he needs, preacher. Every Sunday, I walk into Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and as soon as he sees me, he walks up and hands me an envelope. So the first week I was there, I was like, what's this? I open up, and there's a $20 bill in it. Then I watch him go to the preacher, and he handed him an envelope. Then I watch him go to the assistant pastor and hand them an envelope. Theodore keeps what he needs and gives away all the rest of his money, preacher. He's not 100% there, but he knows what he's doing. And the other day, me and the preacher went for a cup of coffee, and he said, I want to show you something. I want to show you where this man lives. Well, folks, it wasn't pretty. It was a trailer about 10 foot long. If it was any place around here, it'd have a big sign on that says condemned. His roof leaks, so he's got tarps over it. But yet in his heart, he wants to be a blessing. So if you could, just pray for him. He's a great guy. We had him over for Easter, and he felt a little out of place. But he's just got a great heart for the ministry and the Lord. And just a great guy to talk to. He'll do anything for you. He'll literally give you the shirt off your back. And I know you hear that about people, but he will. And he's been a friend to us since we've been there. I thank you for praying for my dad. He got a call a couple weeks ago and said he's in the hospital. That's normal for him. He usually don't stay out too long with his dialysis and other things, but usually it's just a short stay. But they did a heart cath, and he is 90% blocked. Now listen, that's all his arteries, to his legs, to his heart, everything is 90% blocked. And he's not a candidate for surgery. He cannot have surgery. He was in and out. He has some sort of dementia on a small scale. If they do the surgery, they said he'll never come out of it. So really, folks, it's just a matter of time. It really is. So if you could pray for him and me, that'd be awesome. God's been good to us. And, I prayed for 35 meetings this year, and we're on pace to have 28. So hopefully God will give us the other 7. And we can praise him for that. This is going to be, I was sitting in Sunday school and preacher started teaching Sunday school. And he started saying some things. I said, man, I can't preach that sermon now. He just used half my sermon. So I was going to preach something else. And God said, no, just piggyback on that. And I said, I'd be glad to. When God wants to make a double point, I'm for it. So if you hear a little bit of the same, it'll be different. But I threw my glasses away. I can't see a thing anymore. I got to eat with my glasses on almost. Judges chapter number 6. I'm going to start in verse... I'll start in verse 4 for the sake of time. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here to set the stage, and we'll get on with it. Judges chapter number 6 and verse 4 says, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance. This is talk about the Midianites and all their stuff. They came into Israel, and they were just taking their crops and everything. And that word, sustenance, means no nourishment, no food or provisions. So really, they had nothing to eat. That's a bad thing for a Baptist. I mean, we went to Chinese today, and Pastor Gilmer tied my hands behind my back on the chair and just force-fed me, and but I enjoyed it. And praise God. Verse 5 says, "For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished." That word means dirt poor, bankrupt. Well, there's a few of those folks in Israel. There's a few of them. And they got no food. They're bankrupt. They got nothing to eat. They got nothing to drink. And they're in a bad situation. They're in a bad situation because they didn't listen to the Lord. Verse 7 says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." There's God saying, I told you so. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." That mighty man of valor means great courage in battle. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this and thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midians as one man." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. Father, I pray that I can encourage these people tonight, Lord. They need something from you, not me. I pray, Lord, the words that I speak would be a blessing to them, and, Lord, they could thank God for what happens tonight. Father, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray tonight would be the day that they bow the knee and get saved and know for sure heaven's their home. Lord, I'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So the children of Israel are in trouble. They need a leader. They need somebody to lead them in a battle against the Midianites. You know what? God needs some people. God needs some people to step up to the plate. They're impoverished. They're bankrupt. They got no food. And Gideon is hiding, pressing wheat and hiding it from the Midianites. I just want to ask you tonight, and the title of my sermon is, will you answer the bell? Will you answer the bell? You know, God needs a few people to step to the plate. I heard Wednesday night, preacher, you said you were praying for 20 men. 20 men. I would to God 20 men in this church would just come to this altar and surrender. God needs some people. You know, the reason we got a discussion going on about transgender bathrooms is because we're not doing our job. Hello? I know I'm not making friends and influencing people, but we're not doing our job, and that includes me. We say, well, as long as it don't bother me, it'll be okay. Really? Did I Fruit Loop walks in the bathroom behind your daughter? And if that happens when I'm around, I'm just going to snatch him by his neck, and I'll just have to go to jail. You know, that movement is moved by fear and actually blackmail. The NBA told North Carolina that if they don't change their law about that thing, they are not going to play their all-star game in that state. So what does that tell you? Fear. We won't bring all our millions of dollars that your state will earn if you don't change that law. They're making us accept that stuff. We need to stand up. We need to stand up. God needed a few good men, and you know what? He knows where you are. Look at verse 12. He said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." Where was Gideon? Hiding. God said, "Mighty man of valor." I can kind of imagine when Gideon heard that, he probably didn't even know that angel was there, and he probably jumped and got scared. Where did that come from? Mighty man of valor. He's talking about me? When was the last time somebody called you a mighty man of valor? He knew where Gideon was. You know, when God needed the Apostle Paul, he didn't have to look for him. He knew he was on the road to Damascus. He didn't have to sit up in heaven and go, "Man, I need Paul, but I don't know where he's at." He said, "I need Paul," and there he is. And Paul got saved. When Adam and Eve were sinned and were running around the garden, God wasn't playing hide and seek with them. He knew exactly where they were. When God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, he knew where he was. And then he even knew where he was when he got on the wrong boat. See, God knows where you're at. And you can try to run. You can. You can try and run. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to catch you. He's going to catch you. I didn't know what God wanted me for over a year. I was just hanging out, doing something to earn some money to stay alive. And I was just wondering, "God, what do you want from me?" And I'd get nothing. Absolutely. You ever been in a place where you pray and ask God and you get nothing? That usually means just stand still. Wait. That went over for 3-4 months. I'm like, "God, what are you doing?" And he was teaching me some things in that time. But I'm like, "God, I need an answer. My rent's due. What are you doing? I'm not selling no cars. Nobody's even coming in. I'm not even getting customers." I'm like, "Dude, this ain't, but this is not good." But God needs some people to step to the plate. As a group of Christians, we need to step to the plate. Hey, it's only going to get worse with this stuff. It's only going to get worse. You know, we can boycott Target. We can do that. And I hope you're going to. I hope you're going to make a stand and say, "You know what, it might not make much of a difference, but I ain't going in that wicked store. I'm just not. I'm going to stand up for something." So God knows where you are, and if God really wants you, he's going to pluck you up. He says, "It's time for you to get busy. Set you back down, push you on your way." Hey, listen, when God asks you to do something, he'll give you everything you need to accomplish what he wants you to do. He don't call us to something and let us hang. "What do I do?" No, God will give you the instruction you need. Secondly, he called him a mighty man of valor. He said, "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." You know why God called him that? Because God sees in us what we can't see in ourselves. I never saw myself as a preacher. Did you, preacher? Were you in a can company? Hey, there's missionaries all around the world that God said, "I can use that guy, but he has no idea he's usable." He has no idea that I can give him the ability to be a missionary in the worst place ever, because he sees it in us. He says, I can use you. You have some abilities in your life. You have a mental capacity to do things. I can use this guy right here. And you're saying, God, you can't use me. Oh, yeah, he can. Because he can see what we can't see in ourselves. You know, a couple years ago, I think it was 2-3 years ago now, there was a horse called California Chrome. I wasn't betting on the Kentucky Derby, don't worry. But the owners of that horse paid $8,000 for that racehorse. Trained him and entered him in the Kentucky Derby, where most horses are a couple $100,000 or over $1 million. This is an $8,000 horse. He won the stinking Kentucky Derby. Now I read somewhere he just got sold for $55 million. $8,000 horse wins the Kentucky Derby. You know what? He didn't know he wasn't supposed to win. No, listen to me. He didn't know he wasn't supposed to win. You don't know you're supposed to be a missionary or a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. He didn't know he had the ability to win. He just went out and raced, preacher. They opened the gate and boom, he took off. And all those guys that spend millions of dollars on horses went, I would have gave him $9,000. You know, he had no idea that he wasn't supposed to win. He didn't look at himself and say, man, I'm smaller than the rest of these guys. I'm only worth $8,000. He just went out there and did what he was trained to do. And that's what God will do. He will train you to do something. And then all you got to do is just go do it. He sees in us what we can't see in ourselves. When God called me an evangelist, I'm like, you made a mistake, Lord. And I wasn't being goofy about it. I'm just like, that's a rough business these days. No, he said, that's what I want you to do. Because he's seen I could do it. With his power, I could do it. So he sees the things in us that we don't see in ourselves. And I'm glad he does. Look down around here in verse 14. He says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from thy hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. My family is poor. Hey, God's not worried about your status. Do I got to say that again? He is not worried about your status. He can use the poor. He can use the rich. He's not worried about your portfolio. He's not worried about your Facebook friends. That doesn't impress him. He doesn't care what your status is. And I'm not talking about your status on Facebook. He don't care what your status is. Poor, fat, skinny, ugly, bald, full head of hair. You're just hair challenged, preacher. He don't care what your status is. Hey, again, he didn't say, well, Fred Lancaster, he's a good guy, but he ain't really much. He didn't care what my status was. You know, sometimes we put too much stock. Well, the preacher called me to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, la-dee-da. He really don't care what your status is. We make much of ourselves sometimes. And God said, hey, you may be poor, but I do not care. Because I need somebody to lead this battle for me. And I need somebody that will do it. You know, I've learned a lot about the military since being down in Jacksonville, North Carolina, home of Camp Lejeune, of Nick being in the Marines. Can you believe if your sergeant gives you an order, you can't disobey it? Do you know he's really not caring about your opinion? He really don't care that you think you have a better way to do things? See, because if you got a better way to do things, that's when people usually die. They follow orders. I asked Nick, I was joking around, I already knew the answer. I said, so when they tell you to do some, you know, push-ups or something, can you just say, I'll do them later? He started laughing. He goes, that just makes it worse. That just makes it worse. But they got orders to follow. But when those guys join the military, as long as they can get through boot camp and do everything, they don't care where they're from. They don't care if their background's rich or poor. They just want to know if they can follow orders. Charge. Blow something up. Can they follow the order? God don't care about our status, folks. We should just get that stuff out of our mind. We are not special. We might be special ed, but we're not special. We think highly of ourselves. Last time I checked, the ground at the cross is level. Don't take no more than you to get saved than it does me. God don't care about our status. You know what else he doesn't care about? He doesn't care about our stature. Gideon said, my family is poor and I am the least in my family. I'm the least in my family. Immediately when I read this and I was writing this, I thought of David. And preacher talked about David this morning. Samuel goes over to Jesse's house and says, hey, Jesse, where's your boys? And I could see them all lining up thinking, we're going to be the next king. Samuel's here. And they all line up in a straight line. And Samuel goes through and says, mm-mm. No, that's not him. Definitely not. No. Hey, Jesse, you got any more boys? Yeah, we got David guarding the sheep out the back 40. We'll bring him here. And I always think of David as Opie Taylor. I just do. I could see him coming from the back 40 just strolling along with that smile on his face. Hey, Dad, what you want? He gets up there front and center, and Samuel says, that's the one. And all his brothers went, what? Him? See, because these guys already thought something of themselves. They were worried about their status, and they were worried about their stature. David comes walking up, and Samuel says, that's the one right there God wants. See, Israel already picked one that was tall and bigger than everybody else, and that didn't work out too well, did it? He said, that's the one. That's the one God wants right there. A ruddy little boy. And you know why God picked him? God picked him because he seen in him what David did not see in himself. David didn't proclaim, I'm going to be king. He just come from the back 40. But God knew. God knew I can use him. He's got something in him. And he was a man after God's own heart. God said, I can use that boy. That's the one I want. I can see inside and see what he wants to do. He's already killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. That's the one. He don't look like much, but that's the one. David wasn't walking around saying, I'm going to be king. I'm sure that was the last of his worries when he was fighting a bear and a lion, that I'm going to be king. That's the one. God doesn't care about our status or our stature. God's concerned with a willing heart. Now I know Gideon threw out a fleece, and I know all that, and God cut his army down to next to nothing. But God knew all he had to do was give Gideon an order, and he'd follow it. God didn't have to check up on Gideon. God got to check up on you? I hope not. I hope when God lays something on your heart, God can say, I know it's going to get done. Because he's not worried about his status. See, we want to get praise out here from the pulpit into the pews. I know, I've been there. We all want the preacher to say, Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so did this, so we can sit in a pew and go, yes, he mentioned my name. I'm somebody. David wasn't worried about that. David just wanted to get the job done. He never complained. I'm sure he was probably, you want me to be king? And then he had to run for his life because of Saul. But he never changed his mind. He never said, well, Saul's going to kill me. I ain't doing this. This is crazy. Every time I wake up, I got to look behind every bush, every tree, make sure this guy's not standing around. He's trying to kill me. He just got the job done. How do you think of yourself? Do you think of yourself as an accomplished Christian? That I can do anything that God lays on me. I can take care of it. I want preacher to just have me do more because I'm just that good. Or do you have, preacher, whatever you got for me to do, just let me know and I'll take care of it for you. Huh? Hey, our army has to get built back up. We're losing like 10,000 churches a year. Independent Fundamental Baptist churches. Going bye-bye. Because the church will run the preacher off. And they won't replace him. Because somebody takes charge when the preacher's not there. I was talking to a guy in North Carolina. I said, how long has your church been without a pastor? He didn't want to tell me. I said, come on, man. Just tell me, how long has your church been without a pastor? 5 years. I can tell you somebody's running that church. And they'll never get another preacher in there because the guy that's running the church wants to be the preacher. See, that's a bad attitude. Hey, and then eventually what happens is the guy's not trained, he don't know what he's doing, and the church just goes bye-bye. Hey, I know we put long hours in work, and some of you put long hours in the church house, and praise the Lord for you. But our numbers are getting fewer, so that means we have to do more work. Right? We have to do a little bit more. Have to knock on one more door. Get one more little kid on the bus route. Get one more visitor at church. Get God to answer one more prayer. See, but most of all, we need some Gideons. We need some Gideons. I had a preacher say one time, everybody wants to have the power of Elijah. And God sits up there and says, well, where's my Elijahs? I don't see any. Folks, God turned the world upside down with 12 people. If you had 20 men in this church that would sell out and answer the call like Gideon did and said, yes, sir, whatever you need me to do. He didn't argue about being king. He didn't decline it. He said, God, whatever you need me to do. And he was the one that said, is there not a cause? David answered the call. Gideon answered the call. 20 men. for the cause of Easton. I'm glad I heard that, because that's the way I'm going to pray now. 20 men to the call of Easton. Well, Brother Lancaster, you know how much I work. I hate that excuse. Listen, if you can't come to church and you can't tithe, then you're too busy. And you can't afford not to tithe. You cannot afford not to be a soldier of Christ. And there's time we all waste, let's just face it. How long you sit in front of the TV at night? Just a question, don't get mad. How many hours of TV you watch a night? Just a thought. That you could be doing something extra. I heard a preacher say this. He said, you know what? Anybody can go soul winning. You can walk out your house and walk down the street and knock on doors. And you don't need his permission, because I think he'd be happy about that. He wouldn't care if you went out on a Tuesday night and passed out bus flyers. Just saying. Will you... You know, when a boxer gets beat up in rounds and he's sitting down on the stool and they're putting frozen metal objects on that big cut he's got here and blood's running down his face and they're putting water down his back, the announcers, if he looks really bad, will probably say something like this: will he answer the bell for the next round? He don't look real good, but he's going to get up off the stool, Brother Stan, and answer the call for the next round. Will you? Well, somebody cussed me out through the track at me. I've had it happen. Don't mean nothing. There's plenty of other doors. And the guy was nice, too. I was with your brother. And he said, sir, we're from First Baptist Church of Easton. Oh, man, that's awesome. More churches should do this. He said, I have a question for you. He said, if you died today, are you 100% for sure you'd go to heaven? And his whole countenance changed so quick. He took the track and just went like this and threw it at your brother. And he said, what kind of question is that? Get off. And that was, he started using words I can't even say. Get off my blankety blank 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 porch. Get the, and as we're walking down the driveway trying to get off his property, he cussed us the whole way. We got to the end, and how he looked at me and he says, what's wrong with him? I said, you just asked him the wrong question. We moved on to the next door. And then the next door. Hey, you can't let one door stop you. Will you answer the bell? Will you be one of the 20? I don't know how many men's in here, so I can't, I'm not going to count them. But will you be one of the 20? So when this church needs something, you're saying, yes, sir, I'm here. It's done. It's done. I got it. Come up with ways to reach people. God doesn't care where we came from. He's concerned about where we're going. We all got a past. And the moment you say, I can't do this because, God says, I took care of that on Calvary. I was an alcoholic. It's over. It's under the blood. I can't do that. I used to be a drug addict. Doesn't matter. It's under the blood. When you say I can't because of, you're telling God his sacrifice wasn't good enough. As far as I'm concerned, it was plenty good enough. One drop. You ever think about that? One drop. of his blood takes care of all your sin. One drop. That excuse don't wash. I think God sits up there and says, they don't understand. One drop took care of all that. It's done. East is from the west. It's buried. It's done. You have no excuses not to serve God. If Johnny Hudson can get up here and serve God with, I don't even remember what he has, a foot, one hand. I tell people about him all the time when he's got excuses. I said, this guy got nothing. He texts with his big toe, and he can probably text faster than you. We picked him up. We had him at the college, and I picked him up from the airport because Brother Jenkins heard that I knew him a little bit. And we stopped. We took him out to dinner, and he ate pizza with his foot. I'm like, well, he wants pizza. And I'm like, so I figured his wife would cut it up and put it on the floor. He stuck his foot up there, pulled off the plate, and put it in his mouth. I'm like, and there's people all in the restaurant all going, if that guy don't have an excuse, we don't got one. See, I think God calls people to the ministry and they just don't, they know it's not glamorous. They know you don't get rich. They know you get battles to fight. Been in a few battles, preacher, as a pastor. And people say, no, I can't do that. I can't. Will you answer the bell? Not because I want you to, and not because he wants you to, because God wants you to. And when God calls you and you answer, you'll be like, why did I not do this sooner? Why did I not surrender sooner? Hey, living by faith is fun. Sometimes it gets, in my flesh, it gets aggravating. But I know God's going to take care of me because he can't fail. Because he's not going to look bad. Will you answer the bell? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I got two simple questions. Number one is, if you die tonight, are you 100% for sure you go to heaven? I'm not talking about a think so. I'm not talking about a maybe. I'm not talking about I wonder. I'm talking about a 100% stamp of approval that if you died today, you would for sure go to heaven. For Lancaster, there's too many people here who think I'm saved. I'd rather get it right than worry about that. I'd rather get it right than worry about somebody making fun of me. And if somebody makes fun of you, I don't think they're a real Christian anyhow. We should be praising the Lord when somebody gets saved. That's just my opinion. You can take it or leave it. That was free. But are you sure you're saved? And number two, I want the ladies involved, but I want the men to listen. Are you going to answer the call? Are you going to quit playing games with God and think you're doing God a service by showing up Sunday morning and Sunday night? That's not serving God. I hope you think church attendance is not serving God, because it isn't. That's your duty. Will you answer the bell? Will you come to an altar and say, Lord, I want to be one of the 20? And he didn't tell me to preach this. I almost changed this message. I told you that. Will you be one of the 20 to help this church grow for Easton? Will you answer the call? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that your words would convict some hearts, Lord, to join in the 20 to serve this city and help this preacher to get the gospel out, people saved, bus route started, ministry started, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, not my words, but the Holy Spirit would have freedom to change the lives in this church and convict the hearts of your people. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar's open. Don't wait. We had a song to sing.